A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been unpacking the new apartment and hitting the friction points that survive every move. Here's what he wrote. We're finally getting towards the end of unpacking. The process has been exhausting, but it's highlighted the handful of friction points that really get in the way of smooth day-to-day life. The tool belt has been a huge improvement, and so have the Euro boxes and picking bins. In fact, I've found that the more organizational systems I add, the more valuable they become. A couple of things remain on my wish list. One is tape management. Countless times a day I'm cutting VHP tape, double-sided tape, or Velcro tape for mounting things, or wrapping cables. I'd love to have several tape rolls mounted on the wall with integrated cutting blades. The philosophy behind so many industrial workstation accessories seems to be that the tools you use constantly should always be within arm's reach. You shouldn't have to think, where's the VHP tape? You just reach over, pull off what you need, cut it, and carry on. It's a small optimization, but when you repeat the task dozens of times a day, it makes a real difference. The other area is pegboards. Surprisingly, they've been quite difficult to source here in Israel. IKEA sells the Escadis system, but that feels like another proprietary consumer ecosystem. One of the themes of this move has been shifting away from proprietary consumer products and toward industrial standards wherever possible. That's why I've standardized on Euroboxes, industrial shelving, and picking bins. The problem is that once you leave the consumer market, you enter the B2B world. Suddenly, it's remarkably difficult to buy something as simple as a single 60x60cm pegboard. Many suppliers sew sheet metal intended for professional workshops in multimeter lengths, and understandably they're not particularly interested in selling one small panel to a private customer. That got him thinking. A pegboard is really just a sturdy sheet of metal with a standardized hole pattern. It feels like something that could be fabricated fairly easily. He'd like to mount one onto the side of his industrial shelving, which already has keyhole pattern uprights. What material would you recommend using, and what's the best way to attach it? More importantly, which pegboard standard gives access to the widest ecosystem of accessories, such as tape dispensers, drill holders, and other workshop organizers? He's also noticed that many people mount Acro Mills bins directly onto pegboards. He's not convinced that's the best use of the space. He already has industrial picking bins that hang from horizontal rails, and his vision is to have pegboard occupying the upper section with rows of picking bins below it. The deeper he looked into workshop organization, the more confusing the options became. He came across louvre panels, and some people seem to argue that they're actually a better foundation than pegboards for industrial storage. So if you were designing a compact but highly efficient workshop organization system today, would you choose pegboard, louvre panels, or some combination of the two? And what standards would you build around to maximize compatibility with the widest range of accessories?
There's a lot in here. The tape thing and the panel thing might seem like separate problems, but they converge on one question. What standard are you building on? Because the tape dispenser you choose has to mount to something, and that something is the panel you haven't built yet. You can't solve one without committing to the other.
Right. And the commitment is the hard part. Daniel's already done the easy stuff. He's got Euro boxes, he's got picking bins on horizontal rails, he's got the tool belt. What's left are the decisions where you can't just buy the thing off the shelf. You have to fabricate, or at least specify.
Let's start with tape, because it's the smaller problem, and it's the one that'll drive you crazy fastest. The friction Daniel's describing is real. You're in the middle of something, you need a piece of VHB tape, and suddenly you're hunting for the roll, then hunting for scissors. Then the scissors have adhesive residue on them from last time because someone didn't clean them. It's maybe 30 seconds of friction, but if it happens 20 times a day, that's 10 minutes of your life every day just looking for tape.
10 minutes a day is an hour a week. An hour a week is a full work week every year. Looking for tape.
and VHB tape makes it worse. Very high bond tape is thick. The foam core is maybe half a millimeter to a full millimeter, and the adhesive is aggressive. A cheap plastic dispenser with a tiny serrated blade will just gum up and tear the foam instead of cutting it cleanly. You need a proper cutting tooth. The industrial dispensers use a hardened steel blade with a tooth profile that bites through the foam carrier in one pull. Some of them have a weighted arm that keeps tension on the roll so it doesn't unspool when you're not pulling.
So it's not just a holder. It's a cutting tool.
And for standard tapes, masking tape, packing tape, you can get away with much simpler dispensers. A basic wall-mounted unit with a serrated blade works fine. The key is that they're all mounted. That's the system part. The dispenser lives in one place, always. You never take it off the wall, you never set it down somewhere else, you never lend it to someone who walks away with it. The tape returns to its home because the dispenser is the home.
This is what I meant when I said a well-organized parts wall becomes invisible background infrastructure. You stop thinking about it. The tape is just there.
So here's what I'd build. A dedicated tape station. A vertical board or section of the panel with three or four dispensers mounted in a column. VHB on a heavy-duty industrial dispenser at the top, because it's the heaviest roll and you want the weight low in the pull. Below that, double-sided tape, then standard masking tape, then maybe a narrow dispenser for electrical tape or Velcro. Each one with its own cutter. You reach, pull, cut, done. The whole motion takes 2 seconds.
And if you're building this from scratch, you're not buying a consumer product called a tape station. You're buying individual industrial dispensers and bolting them to your panel.
Right, which loops back to the panel standard. If you buy dispensers designed for European pegboard, they'll have hook space for 10mm holes on a 20mm grid. If you buy dispensers designed for something else, they won't fit. You have to pick your standard first.
Okay, so let's zoom out to the panel itself. Daniel's trying to buy a single 60 by 60 centimeter pegboard in Israel and hitting the B2B wall. This is a problem I've actually seen before. Metal suppliers sell full sheets. A standard sheet of 2mm steel is 1 meter by 2 meters, or 1.25 by 2.5. They'll cut it for you if you're buying the whole sheet, but they're not going to sell you a 60 centimeter cutoff and then spend time drilling a hole pattern in it.
Which is why Daniel's instinct is right. You don't buy a pegboard, you have one made. You go to a metal fabricator, a shop that does laser cutting or CNC punching, and you say, I need a 2mm steel plate, 600 by 600 millimeters, with 10mm holes on a 20mm grid. That's a standard job. They load the plate, the machine punches the holes, and you pick it up. It'll cost more than an IKEA SCADIS board, but it'll be a real industrial panel that'll outlast you.
2mm steel. Why not aluminum?
Aluminum's lighter and doesn't rust, but it's softer. Pegboard hooks put point loads on the holes. Over time, with aluminum, the holes can oval out, especially if you're hanging anything with weight. Steel holds its shape. 2mm steel is rigid enough that a 60 by 60 panel won't flex when you're pulling tape off a dispenser. You could go to 3mm if you're hanging heavy tools, but for what Daniel's doing, 2 is plenty.
And the hole pattern. This is where most people get lost. They think a pegboard is a pegboard.
There are two major standards. The European standard is 10mm holes on a 20mm grid. That's center to center, so you've got 10mm of metal between each hole. The US standard is quarter inch holes on 1-inch centers. Quarter inch is about 6.35 millimeters, so the holes are smaller and the spacing is wider. The accessories aren't interchangeable. A hook designed for quarter-inch holes won't fit in a 10mm hole, it'll just fall out. And a hook designed for 10mm holes won't fit in a quarter-inch hole at all.
So Daniel's in Israel. Which standard does he pick?
European. 10mm, 20mm grid. It's the dominant standard across Europe and the Middle East for industrial pegboard accessories. The ecosystem is enormous. Drill holders, screwdriver racks, tape dispensers, shelf brackets, hook styles you didn't know existed, all designed for 10mm holes. If he went with the US standard, he'd be importing accessories and paying shipping on every little hook.
And SKDIS?
SKDIS is its own thing. The holes are smaller, the spacing is different, and the accessories use a proprietary locking mechanism. They snap in and twist. It's clever, it's clean, it looks nice on an IKEA desk. But you can't buy a third-party drill holder for SKDIS. You can't bolt an industrial tape dispenser to it. You're locked into IKEA's accessory catalog, which is fine for a home office but useless for a workshop. Daniel's entire philosophy with this move has been escape the proprietary ecosystem. SKDIS is the opposite of that.
So he gets his 2mm steel plate with 10mm holes on a 20mm grid. Now he has to attach it to the side of his shelving unit, which has those keyhole pattern uprights. How?
The keyhole uprights are the vertical rails with the slots shaped like, well, keyholes. The wide part lets a bolt head through. The narrow part captures it. They're standard on industrial shelving. The trick is finding a fastener that mates with them.
And the slots aren't threaded.
No. So you have two options. Option one is T-nuts. A T-nut is a threaded nut with a flange that has two flat sides. You slide it into the keyhole slot, rotate it 90 degrees, and the flange locks behind the slot. Now you've got a threaded hole facing outward. You run an M6 or M8 bolt through a hole in your pegboard and into the T-nut. Tighten it down, and the panel is clamped to the upright.
And if the keyhole slots are too wide for standard T-nuts?
That happens. Some shelving uses slots that are 8 or 10 millimeters wide, and off-the-shelf T-nuts are designed for smaller slots. In that case, option 2, L-brackets. You get 4 steel L-brackets, bolt them to the uprights using standard shelving bolts that fit the keyholes, and then bolt the pegboard to the brackets. It adds a few millimeters of standoff, which is actually useful because pegboard hooks need clearance behind the panel. The hook goes through the hole and then drops down, and the back of the hook needs space to sit behind the panel.
So the standoff is a feature, not a bug.
You want maybe 10 to 15 millimeters of air gap behind the panel. Some people mount pegboards flat against a wall and then wonder why the hooks don't seat properly. The hook shank is longer than the panel is thick, and it needs somewhere to go.
All right. Panel standard chosen. Attachment method sorted. Now Daniel's other question. Acro Mills bins on pegboards. He's skeptical, and he's right to be.
He's absolutely right. Acro Mills bins are shallow. The standard ones are maybe 3 or 4 inches deep. They're designed for small parts, screws, washers, electronic components. When you hang them on a pegboard, they stick out from the wall and consume horizontal space, but they don't use vertical space efficiently. You've got all this empty air above and below each bin. And because they're mounted on pegboard hooks, they're not as stable as bins on rails. If you bump one, it can pop off the hook.
Whereas his picking bins on horizontal rails are deeper, they're locked into the rail, and they stack vertically with almost no wasted space.
Industrial picking bins on louvered rails or horizontal rails are the right tool for volume storage. They're deeper, they're modular, you can reconfigure them by sliding them along the rail, and they're designed to be loaded with weight. The pegboard should be reserved for tools, dispensers, and things you need to grab quickly. The bins handle bulk storage. It's a division of labor.
Which brings us to the big question. Pegboard versus louvre panels. Daniel's been reading conflicting advice.
Let's define terms. A louvre panel is a sheet of metal with horizontal slats punched into it. The slats are angled upward, creating a slot. Accessories have a hook that drops into the slot and hangs. It's a very fast system. You don't have to line up a peg with a hole, you just drop the hook into the slot and it seats itself. And louvre panels are rigid. The slats act as ribs that stiffen the whole panel so you can hang heavier loads without flexing.
So why isn't everyone using louvre panels?
Two reasons. One, there's no universal standard for the slot dimensions. Different manufacturers use different slot widths, different spacing between slats, different hook profiles. A hook from one brand probably won't fit a panel from another brand. With pegboard, the 10mm hole on a 20mm grid is a real standard. You can buy hooks from a dozen different manufacturers and they'll all fit.
And two?
Ecosystem depth. Pegboard has been around for decades. The range of accessories is staggering. Specialized holders for specific tools, bins, shelves, dispenser mounts, even things like tablet holders and charging station brackets. Louvre panels are common in commercial van racking and some workshop setups, but the accessory market is smaller and more fragmented. You might find a great louvre panel and then discover that nobody makes a VHB tape dispenser mount for that particular slot profile.
So the verdict?
Combination. Daniel's instinct about splitting the wall is exactly right. Pegboard on top, horizontal rails with picking bins below. But here's where I'd add a nuance. If he can source a louvre panel for the lower section instead of simple horizontal rails, it gives him more flexibility. He can hang heavier bins, add tool holders below the pegboard zone, and reconfigure without tools. But only if he can find a louvre system with a decent accessory range. If not, horizontal rails for the picking bins are simpler and more standardized.
So pegboard is the foundation. Louvre is optional enhancement for the lower zone.
Pegboard is the foundation because the accessory ecosystem is the moat. The panel itself is just a piece of metal with holes. The value is in the thousands of accessories that fit those holes. And the European standard gives you the widest selection by far. Tape dispensers, drill holsters, wrench racks, screwdriver organizers, parts cups, shelf brackets, even small vice mounts. All designed for 10mm holes on a 20mm grid. You're not buying a product, you're buying into an ecosystem.
And that's the thread that runs through Daniel's whole move, isn't it? Euroboxes instead of cardboard boxes. Industrial shelving instead of IKEA furniture. Picking bins instead of consumer storage totes. Every decision is about joining a durable standard instead of a disposable product line.
The standard outlasts the product. IKEA will redesign SKDS in 5 years and the new accessories won't fit the old board. The 10mm pegboard standard has been stable for decades. The hooks you buy today will fit a panel you drill 20 years from now.
Let's talk layout. Daniel's got a 60 by 60 panel. He wants tape dispensers, drill holders, other workshop organizers. How do you arrange it?
Zone it. Top zone, arm's reach and above, is for frequently grabbed items. That's where the tape station goes. Mount the dispensers vertically on the left or right edge of the panel so you're pulling tape outward, not across the panel where other tools are in the way. Center zone is for tools. Drill and driver holsters, wrench racks, screwdriver strips. Bottom zone, just above the picking bins, is for less frequently used items. Specialty pliers, measuring tools, things you need but not every 5 minutes.
The picking bins below?
The picking bins sit on horizontal rails mounted directly to the shelving uprights, below the pegboard. The pegboard occupies the upper 60 centimeters. The picking bins occupy whatever height remains. The key is that there's no pegboard real estate wasted on storage bins. Every square centimeter of pegboard is used for tools and dispensers that benefit from instant visibility and grab-and-go access.
What about weight? If he's hanging drills and heavy tools on a 2mm steel panel bolted to shelving uprights, is there a sag risk?
At 60 by 60 centimeters, with 4 attachment points to the uprights, 2mm steel won't sag. The span is too short. If he were hanging a full-size bench vise off it, different story, but he's not. Drills weigh a couple of kilos. The panel can handle that easily. The weak point isn't the panel, it's the hooks. Cheap pegboard hooks can bend under load. Buy good ones. Look for hooks made from 3 or 4 millimeter steel wire, not the flimsy stamped ones that come in variety packs.
To pull all of this together into something Daniel can act on this weekend, step 1, find a local metal fabricator. Order a 2mm steel plate, 600 by 600mm, with 10mm holes on a 20mm grid. Ask them to deburr the holes so the edges are smooth.
Step 2. While the panel is being made, source your T-nuts and bolts. Take one of your shelving uprights to a hardware store or fastener supplier and test fit T-nuts in the keyhole slots. You want M6 or M8 T-nuts that slide in and lock with a quarter turn. Buy 8 of them, 4 for the top rail and 4 for the bottom, plus matching bolts and washers.
Step 3. Order your tape dispensers. For VHB, get an industrial dispenser with a hardened steel cutting tooth, the kind that's meant for foam tapes. For standard tapes, simpler wall-mounted dispensers are fine. Make sure they're all designed for pegboard mounting with 10mm hooks.
Step 4. Don't buy Acro Mills bins for the pegboard. You already have picking bins on rails. Use them. Mount the horizontal rails for your picking bins on the shelving uprights below where the pegboard will sit. Leave yourself enough clearance to reach the bottom row of the pegboard without bumping your hands on the bins.
Step 5. Commit to the European pegboard standard. Every accessory you buy from this point forward should be compatible with 10mm holes on a 20mm grid. If you see a tempting accessory that only fits SKDIS or some other system, walk away. The standard is the strategy.
One more thing. When you mount the panel, put a spirit level on it. Take the extra 30 seconds. A pegboard that's half a degree off level will annoy you every single time you look at it for the next 10 years.
Half a degree is the difference between satisfaction and a low-grade background irritation that you can't quite name.
You'll name it eventually, usually while holding a drill and staring at a slightly crooked row of hooks.
The open question I keep coming back to is whether the 10mm, 20mm standard is truly universal across Europe, or whether there are regional variations that could bite you later. I've heard rumors of Italian pegboards with slightly different spacing, but I've never confirmed it.
I've heard the same thing. Some older Italian panels used a different grid, but modern CNC punch panels from major European suppliers are almost all 10x20. The risk is buying vintage or surplus panels from unknown sources. If Daniel's having a new panel fabricated to his spec, he controls the standard. The accessories he buys from European industrial suppliers will fit.
The other thing I wonder about is whether 3D printing changes the calculus. If you've got a printer, you can make your own pegboard hooks and holders. At that point, does the standard still matter as much?
It matters less, but it doesn't go away. You can print a custom hook for any hole pattern, sure. But printing takes time, the parts aren't as strong as steel, and you're now maintaining a library of custom STL files instead of just buying a hook for €2. The standard is about reducing cognitive load. If you have to design and print every accessory, you've traded the friction of finding things for the friction of making things. For some people, that's a good trade. For Daniel, who just wants the tape dispenser to work, the standard is the faster path.
All right, on the record, where does this go?
Within 2 years, I think we'll see at least one major European industrial supplier start selling pre-cut pegboard panels direct to consumers online in standard sizes like 60x60 and 60x120. The demand is there, the fabrication is trivial, and the current B2B-only distribution model leaves money on the table.
I'll go a different direction. Within a year, Daniel will have added at least 3 more tape dispensers to that station. The VHB1 will be the gateway drug, and then suddenly there's a dispenser for every tape in the apartment, and Hannah will ask if the kitchen needs a tape station too.
The answer is yes. Masking tape for labeling leftovers.
Every kitchen needs a tape station. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for keeping the show running.
If you've built a workshop wall you're proud of, or if you've got a tape management hack we haven't thought of, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'd love to see what you've come up with.
We'll be back soon. Go build something.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.